Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 13 May, 2025, Zachariah.
All right, before we get started, a couple of announcements. Yesterday was Daria's birthday. Daria's back with the little people teaching. Happy birthday, Daria! And today is Gresha and Joe O'Neill. These guys are back row buddies back here. Gresha's birthday and Joe O'Neill's birthday. Joe is recovering from the heart valve surgery that he had. And continue to keep him in your prayers. He's had a couple of complications with that. But today is Joe's birthday and Gresha's birthday. So three birthdays. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is Hal Lindsey. Of course, he's in heaven, but he has his man, Tom Gilbreth, who is writing, and he has an article, Shadows of Things to Come. And he starts out and says, Jesus will snatch away the church. Now that's actually a very excellent translation for what you know doctrinally as the rapture. There is no word rapture, but there is the word harpazo. H-A-R-P-A-Z, long O, harpazo. And this is the word that teaches the doctrine of the rapture. Rapture is mousterion, mystery doctrine of the church age. Jesus will harpazo, snatch away the church before the 7 years of the tribulation period, which is also known as Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 9, and it's also known as the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. For this reason, those of us who are in Christ, church age saints, royal family of God, in union with Jesus Christ, and alive today, we will not experience God's wrath poured out on the earth in the tribulation period. We won't be here. Whether through physical death or the rapture, we will escape the tribulation period, that 7-year tribulation period. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have trouble. We will. Jesus told us we would, John 16:33. But persecution from others and normal trauma of living in a fallen world are different from God's wrath poured out for our sins. We won't experience the latter because His wrath for our sins was poured out long ago on the Lord Jesus at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ received the judgment that we deserved. Revelation chapter 6 through 16 and most of Matthew 24 focus on that time after the church has been raptured. And after the church is gone, the greatest revival in history will take place. Now, if, this is a big if it makes you sad to miss it, I am not going to be sad that I missed the tribulation. Now, the great revival, I'm all for that, but if it makes you sad to miss it, you can be comforted that the disappearance of Christ's followers, the rapture, all over the world, will surely be one of the catalysts of that revival. People will think back. Didn't a lot of those Christians kept talking about the fact that they were going to disappear one day? They talk about a rapture? And that their dead would have a physical resurrection? Many of those saved during that time will be from the nation of Israel. Jesus had a great deal to say to this group, including this well-known verse, Luke 21:28. When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We do not see the events of the tribulation period, but we can see shadows of that future. The world is being prepared right now for that tribulation period. The stage is being set right before our eyes. When we see shadows of the tribulation creeping into our time, it reminds us that those terrible days are close. And if the tribulation is close, then the rapture is closer. The other thing to remember about Daniel's 70th week, or the tribulation, is just how amazingly short it is. It's only 7 years. Daniel 9 says the 7 years will be triggered by a treaty between the Antichrist and the nation Israel. 7 years later, Jesus returns. Not for a rendezvous in the air this time, that's the rapture, but rather a return, a landing on planet Earth. His feet will physically touch down on the Mount of Olives, immediately causing an earthquake and the splitting of the Mount of Olives in two. Zechariah 14:4. Isaiah 35:4-10 speaks of that future when it says, "Say to those who are fearful-hearted, Be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. Waters will burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Las Vegas. Not Las Vegas isn't there, but I added it. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting happiness in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. We're not there yet, but the rapture is imminent. It's signless and timeless, but we can see everything being prepared for that tribulation period and the raptures before that. And we see the encroaching shadows of things to come. This is a good time for us to look up and lift up our heads. Our redemption draws near. All right. We are in Zechariah chapter 2. Now, right at the beginning, Zechariah chapter 1, we saw there are 8 visions. At the beginning of the book of Zechariah, 8 visions. We've studied the first 2 visions in chapter 1. Vision number 1, the red horse rider, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. And we saw vision number 2, the 4 horns and the 4 horn cutters. Those are the first 2 of the 8 visions. And all 8 visions came in one night. Now we're in chapter 2, and in chapter 2 we have vision number 3, the vision of the surveyor. In chapter 2, Zechariah records another vision he received from the Lord concerning the city of Jerusalem. This vision has a dual fulfillment, a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. First of all, the near fulfillment, this vision applies to Zechariah's generation and the reconstruction of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. And then the far fulfillment, it foreshadows Jerusalem's reconstruction in the millennial kingdom. No city is more treasured by the Lord than Jerusalem. The prophet Ezekiel said Jerusalem is set in the middle of the nations, Ezekiel 5:5. The prophet Ahijah called Jerusalem the city which I, the Lord, have chosen for myself to put my name there. 1 Kings 11:36. Likewise, there is no place on earth that fills the Jewish heart with love and loyalty like the city of Jerusalem. Jewish exiles have prayed for centuries. Psalm 137, verses 5 and 6. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. And if I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Psalm 137, 5 and 6. Now, Zechariah chapter 2, 1 and 2, we exegeted that. The corrected translation of verses 1 and 2 sounds like this. Then I raised up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man. The man is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. And in his hand there was a measuring line, a surveyor's line. So I asked, "Where are you going?" And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered me, me being Zechariah, "To measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide it is and how long it is." Now, we did the exegesis, but we didn't pull it together. So number one, Jerusalem was being surveyed in order to plan its restoration. In other words, this vision gives great confidence to the Jewish people. How fantastic. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. We're going to have Jerusalem again. We're going to have the temple again. We're going to have fortifications again. God has a plan for us. And He, a very special plan for the Jewish people. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing there with the surveyor's line, tells Zechariah that eventually there will be walls once again in Jerusalem and the temple will be rebuilt. God has a plan for Jerusalem and the Jewish people. God has a plan for Jerusalem and the Jewish people. When Zechariah teaches this, this is fantastic. Four, until the walls are rebuilt and restored, the Lord Jesus Christ will be a wall of fire around the Jewish people, protecting them from all the nations around them. Zechariah 2, verse 5. That's coming up here in verse 5. We've just exegeted verses 1 and 2. But this great verse on the wall of fire is Zechariah 2, verse 5. And until the walls are rebuilt and restored, the Lord Jesus Christ will be a wall of fire around them, protecting them. Zechariah 2, 5. Point five. The wall of fire principle teaches us that God can and will protect a nation in history. This is important for the United States of America. The wall of fire principle applies to every client nation to God. It applies to the United States of America right now. But it depends on a pivot of spiritually mature believers. And that's the question right now in America. We are in apostasy and degeneracy. We are on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. We're living in the United States at a time like Isaiah lived. And we are living on the edge of the volcano and we're about to be destroyed. And frankly, most Christians don't give a damn about God or about the Word of God. Everything else is more important. Everything is more important. And I don't see, I pray every single day, I pray for our nation. I never thought I would see in my day our nation in such apostasy, in such degeneracy as it's in right now. Now, the only hope we have is the wall of fire principle. the wall of fire principle. Jesus Christ protecting our nation. That wall of fire principle depends on a large pivot of spiritually mature believers. Now, there's only one way you can grow up and be a spiritually mature believer and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and that's where spiritual priorities are number one. Spiritual priorities are number one in your life. And when we got a big enough pivot of mature believers where spiritual priorities are number one in their lives, then the pivot will increase. I pray every day for our nation. I know we're about ready to be removed as a client nation to God. And I pray for that the grace gospel will be proclaimed all over the United States of America. I pray that many sons will be brought into glory. And I pray for all those Christians, multitudes of Christians, out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship, living in Satan's cosmic system. They're Christians. They're the problem. They are the problem in America. Christians out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system. And I pray that God will do whatever it takes, so that they come to their senses and rebound, get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. And then I pray that they would find a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assemble there and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the pivot might increase. Because that's the only way that we will be delivered from the fifth cycle of discipline. And that's the only way there will be a wall of fire around the United States of America. The only way. So point four, until the walls are rebuilt and restored, the Lord Jesus Christ will be a wall of fire around them, protecting them. That's coming up in Zechariah 2, verse 5. Point 5. The wall of fire principle teaches us that God can protect a nation in history. 6. This protection is based on a large pivot of spiritually mature believers. This protection is based on a large pivot of spiritually mature believers. Seven, the greatest protection that a nation has is the large pivot of spiritually mature believers. That's the greatest protection. The greatest protection that a nation has is the large pivot of spiritually mature believers. Eight. While there will be walls reconstructed around Jerusalem, the greatest protection of all for a nation is the large pivot of spiritually mature believers. While there will be walls reconstructed around Jerusalem, the greatest protection of all for a nation is the large pivot of spiritually mature believers. So again, Zechariah 2, 1 and 2. Then I raised up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man. This is putting the spotlight again on the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. And in his hand there was a measuring line, a surveyor's line. So I asked, "Where are you going?" And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered me, Zechariah, to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide it is and how long it is. Now, Jesus Christ is the omniscient, all-knowing God, but this is to give the people who have returned, the remnant who have returned from the Babylonian captivity and then in the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire, returned to the land under the decree of Cyrus the Great and Darius the Great to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Spiritual priorities number one. Not build fortifications around Jerusalem, but build the temple first. Spiritual priorities first. Put the living and true God first in your life. And you do that, Jesus Christ said, "I will be the protection for you. I will be the wall of fire around you." If you put spiritual priorities first. And that's where we are in America. Now, verse 3. The ministry of the two angels. Verse 3. And behold, the angel who talked with me went forth. We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the demonstrative particle hene, plus the noun malak with the definite article, plus the kalactic participle of daver, plus the preposition beth with the first person singular suffix, plus the kalactic participle of the verb yatzah. Well, v'hine, and behold. And then we have, this is putting the spotlight on the angels. Malak, and behold, Malak. M-A-L-A-K, Malak. We have an aleph in there. Malak, with the definite article, the angel. Now, this angel is identified by the kalactic participle of the verb daver, to speak, and with the preposition beth in the first person singular suffix, to speak with me. This is the angel that spoke with Zechariah. This is the teaching angel who taught Zechariah. And then we have Yatzah. Y-A-T-S-A, Aleph, Yatzah. And Yatzah means to go out, to come out, went out, and behold, the angel who was speaking with me, the teaching angel who taught Zechariah, went out. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me, that's the teaching angel who taught Zechariah, he went out. The teaching angel went out to meet a second angel. Angel number two is a special messenger from God who has a special message from God. So then we have, and another angel went out to meet him. So here are the two angels. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the noun malak, repeated, plus the kalactic participle of yatsa, repeated, with the adjective acher, plus the kal infinitive construct of kara with the third person singular masculine suffix. Now we have angel number two, and he's introduced as malach acher. Malach acher. We already had malach angel, and we have with it acher. Aleph, A-C-H-A-R, Acher. And Acher means another, another malach, another angel. The conjunction vav is a connective vav, correctly translated, and then the verb yatzah is repeated, to go out, to come out. Kalactic participle of yatzah was coming out. And then the verb kara, which means to meet, to encounter, with the third person singular masculine suffix, to meet him. And another angel was coming out to meet him. So, verse 3 now sounds like this. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me, the teaching angel, who taught Zechariah, went out, and another angel, angel number two, was coming out to meet him. This is a special angel sent by God. So, one, while Zechariah was receiving the surveyor's answer, that's the Lord Jesus Christ's answer in verse 2, while Zechariah was receiving the surveyor's answer, Jesus Christ in theophany, the teaching angel who spoke with the prophet left to meet another angel, a special angel who had a revelation from God. So while Zechariah was receiving the surveyor's answer, the Lord Jesus Christ answer in verse 2, the teaching angel who spoke with the prophet left to meet another angel, a special angel sent by God to bring a revelation from God. 2. In Zechariah 2, verses 3 through 5, Zechariah reported what happened. Zechariah 2, 3 through 5, Zechariah reported what happened. 3, the teaching angel tells the latter angel to give God's revelation to the young man. And the young man we're going to see in verse 4, that's Zechariah. Zechariah, by the way, is a young man. So the teaching angel tells the latter angel to give God's revelation, because he comes with a special revelation from God to the young man, Zechariah. That's our next verse, verse 4. Point 4, in fact, he is to run because of its urgency and also because of the thrilling news of Jerusalem's reconstruction. God has this fantastic plan for Israel and the Jewish people. So he is to run because of its urgency and because of the thrilling news of Jerusalem's reconstruction. 5. This news would fill both Zechariah and the remnant of Jews in Jerusalem with great happiness. Great happiness. Because it was coming when the Israelites were struggling to rebuild their city and the temple. So this news would fill both Zechariah and the remnant of Jews that returned to Jerusalem with great happiness, because it was coming when the Israelites were struggling to rebuild their city and the temple. Point six, once again, what we have in our passage is dual fulfillment of the prophecy. Near fulfillment, far fulfillment. Seven, first of all, in the near fulfillment, the passage applies to Zechariah's generation, the remnant that had returned from the Medo-Persian Empire under the decree of Cyrus and the decree of Darius. So first of all, the near fulfillment, it applies to the Zechariah's generation, the remnant of Jews that have returned to Jerusalem. Eight, the far fulfillment, once again, is the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. Point nine, God gave Zechariah four promises in this third vision. God gave Zechariah four promises in this third vision. First of all, great prosperity. That's verse four. Great prosperity. They were going to have great prosperity. Secondly, protection. The wall of fire. Jesus Christ would provide perfect protection against all their enemies. The wall of fire. Third, that's verse 5. So verse 4, prosperity. Verse 5, the wall of fire, protection. Then third, a population explosion. Verses 6 and 7. A population explosion. They would multiply greatly. That's verses 6 and 7. And then fourth, verses 8 and 9, punishment on Israel's enemies. Punishment on Israel's enemies. And all these enemies of Israel right now as we speak, they're all going to be crushed. Absolutely crushed. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And they are absolutely the most evil, satanic people on the earth right now. Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, the Syrians. They are the most satanic, evil people on planet earth right now. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And in verses 8 and 9, God's judgment on Israel's enemies. So first of all, this passage applies to Zechariah's generation, the remnant that's returned from the Persian Empire. So let's take a note of a few other things. One, the principle that God is giving to Zechariah, that he is going to be teaching to the people, you need to put spiritual things first. You need to put spiritual things first. Not the details of life. If you put the details of life over spiritual things, you're a loser. You are not a part of the pivot of mature believers. You're part of the problem. You're not a part of the solution. You need to put spiritual things first. Two, you put the Lord Jesus Christ first and rebuild the temple. So Zechariah is communicating this to the remnant. His generation has returned. He's telling them, you must put the Lord Jesus Christ first and rebuild the temple. Why is it important to rebuild the temple? Because the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, will dwell in the Holy of Holies. The living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, dwelling in the Holy of Holies. You're putting spiritual priorities number one. Bible doctrine number one. The teaching of this great prophet Zechariah number one. So first of all, you put the Lord Jesus Christ first and rebuild the temple. Three, while you are rebuilding the temple, I, the surveyor, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will protect you. I know you don't have any walls around. I am your protector. I am the wall of fire that's protecting you. You put spiritual things number one. And then I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem and take care of you. So that's point four. Point four, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem, and I will take care of you, protect you. Five. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was a wall of fire around Jerusalem in Zechariah's generation, so the Lord will be a wall of fire around you if you put the Lord Jesus Christ first. He'll be a wall of fire around you personally if you put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. So just as the Lord Jesus Christ was a wall of fire around Jerusalem, in Zechariah's generation, so the Lord will be a wall of fire around you. You, believers in Upland Bible Church. You, all over America and different parts of the world, getting the classes. And we get, there's pastors in Africa, we get emails from them every week, every week. How much they love the Bible teaching from Upland Bible. They're getting in Africa Bible teaching from Upland Bible Church. And on our prayer list, for those of you, hopefully, this is something that's a daily part of your life. One of the pastors, they need a permanent place for them to meet for the study of the Word of God. And so I encourage you to pray for them, that God provides that permanent place where they can meet consistently and faithfully and grow up. This pastor is getting all of the doctrine from what's being taught here in Upland Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. But it's not just in other parts of the world. It's all over America. This is addressed now to you individually. So just as the Lord Jesus Christ was the wall of fire around Jerusalem in Zechariah's generation, so the Lord will be a wall of fire around you if you put the Lord Jesus Christ first. Sixth, the winner believer puts spiritual things first. And when that happens, then the Lord Jesus Christ puts a wall of fire around that winner believer. The winner believer puts spiritual things first. And the Lord Jesus Christ puts a wall of fire around that winner believer. Seven. The second fulfillment of this passage will be at the second advent of Christ. The second fulfillment, or the far fulfillment of this passage, will be at the second advent of Christ with the deliverance of the remnant of believers. Eight, at that time, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore the Jewish people into the land, and Israel will be the client nation to God for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. Only one client nation to God in the millennium, Israel. And the whole world will be blessed by association with Israel. And that, who is the Messiah? In his true humanity, he's a Jew. He's the son of David. That's the Messiah. And the whole world will be blessed by association with all the Jewish people with that Messiah, the God-man, the son of David. And him ruling the world will be a world of the most phenomenal peace and prosperity and blessing. So at that time, point eight, at that time the Lord Jesus Christ will restore the Jewish people into the land, and Israel will be the client nation to God in the millennium. Now, God gave Zechariah four promises in this third vision. Promise number one is great prosperity. Great prosperity. And that's in verse 4. In verse 4, starts out, and in the King James, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the preposition el with the third person singular suffix, plus the verb roots. Deb had me watch, and Dave, watch this movie. What was the name of that movie? Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy. And there's a tree that's a living tree, and his name Groot. And I looked at roots, and I go, dadgum, there's Groot. Cal imperative. You've seen that. You watch those things. The PL imperative of davar, plus the preposition L joined by a makef to na'er with the definite article, plus the demonstrative pronoun chalaz, plus the cal infinitive construct of amer repeated. All right. Well, we have the vav is a conversive vav. That's very important. It converts the imperfect of amer into a perfect, and you translate it, and said. And then the preposition el with the third person singular suffix, to him. And then, not grut, but roots. See, I'm the last one to ever watches any of these things, but they keep, Dad, you got it. Oh, you got it. Wow, then you got it. That's pretty close to Groots. Groots. All right. Well, a couple of things on Groots. One, it means to run. Run! See, God loves track and field. See that? Two, the imperative mood is a command. This is a mandate. Three, the teaching angel is commanding the latter angel to run. This is a special angel sent by God with a revelation. And the teaching angel is commanding this special angel sent by God to run. You run to Zechariah. He needs to get this right now. Four. So he is commanded to run because of its urgency and the thrilling news of Jerusalem's reconstruction, God's plan for Israel and the Jewish people. He's commanded to run because of its urgency and the thrilling news of Jerusalem's reconstruction and God's fantastic grace plan for the Jewish people, the remnant. Five, the command to run is the urgency to put spiritual things first. Run and give Zechariah this message. The urgency to put spiritual things first and get cracking on rebuilding the temple. You're sitting on your butt. For 16 years, they've been stalled and not rebuilding. They put in the foundation and then nothing for 16 years. They have a mountain of opposition. And so here is this command to run. The urgency to put spiritual things first and get cracking on rebuilding the temple. That's number one. And then daver, which is the verb to speak or to tell. And then El Hanaar Halez. Speak, tell that young man. That's what it says. Tell that young man. On air is a young man. Tell that young man. That young man is the prophet Zechariah. And he is a young man, young prophet. He's in his late 20s. That's young. That's when I came to Upland Bible Church. God brought me here in my late 20s. I was on air. Now I'm an old fart. I'm still here. See? That young man is the prophet Zechariah, the cal infinitive construct of Amer, saying. So the corrected translation. And said to him, run! Speak to that young man, Zechariah, saying, then we have Jerusalem shall be inhabited like towns without walls. And this is the proper noun, Yerushalayim, plus the cal imperfect of the verb yashav, plus the noun, parazah. Well, Yerushalayim, you can figure that one out. That's Jerusalem. And then Yashav. Y-A-S-H-A-B. Yashav. Yashav, well, it can mean to sit or to remain or to dwell. That's all literally. But figuratively, it means to be inhabited. To be inhabited. It's used figuratively here. And then, pa-raza. P-shava-r-a-z-a-h, p-raza. And literally, p-raza means open regions or open country. Figuratively, which is how it's used here, it means like unwalled villages or as towns without walls. And that's how we're going to translate, as towns without walls. So it says, and said to him, run, speak to that young man, Zechariah, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited as towns without walls. For, here's the reason, for the multitude of men and cattle in it. There's going to be a population explosion and a great prosperous explosion in the economy. So we have the preposition men prefixed to the noun rov plus the noun adam. You know adam. 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 And you know Adama, because Adam was made from dirt. So if you have the name Adam, you mean your name means dirt. That's your blessing for today. Plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun behema, plus the preposition beth prefixed to tavek. Well, the preposition min is oftentimes it's a preposition of that expresses the idea of separation, and it means separated from or out of. However, not here. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon, says men in our verse has a causal sense and is correctly translated on account of, because, or since. So we will translate it because, and that is how we're going, it's translated here, because. And then we have men prefixed to the noun rove, which means multitude, abundance, greatness, and adam, the word for man, or mankind. The first man, Adam's body, was created by the Lord Jesus Christ from the dirt of the ground. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, after he formed the body, then he breathed into him neshama, the spark of life. And then Adam became a living soul. So first the body was all formed. Jesus Christ created the first man. We just had Mother's Day. And I always have my special Mother's Day message. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And the answer to that is the rooster. Genesis. And what did God do? He created the body. The body was completely created. It wasn't a person until Jesus Christ breathed the neshama, the spark of life. So, while you ladies are en sant, and you're, what's going on? Well, the body is being prepared in the womb. But it's not a living soul until physical birth. And then at physical birth, neshama, the spark of life, is breathed into that body, and inhale, exhale, It's now a living soul. And the principle, it's all laid out the way Jesus Christ created the first person. First he formed the body, totally complete, but it wasn't a living soul. Then it wasn't a living soul till he breathed in the spark of life, neshama. It's the same thing here. On the body being formed in the womb and then physical birth, the spark of life presented. And then we have, so Adam became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. And then we have Behema, and that's a beast, an animal, cattle, livestock. The Vav is a connective Vav, and the livestock, preposition Beth, prefix to the substantive Tavek, in the midst of it, in the middle of it. So the corrected translation, and said to him, run, teaching angel told this special angel sent by God, run and speak to that young man, Zechariah. You got to give him this. This is great. You got to get this to him right away, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited as towns without walls because of the great multitude of men and livestock in the midst of it. Well, what this means is there will be a population explosion. Population explosion and great, great economic prosperity. Great economic prosperity. All of that. And that is really, you got to get this to Zechariah. He's the people, this is what, they need to hear this now. And so we'll pull that all together next time. But at least we got the important stuff, exegesis, out of the way. Some of you have to go back and take a look at Groot. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.